It seems that no world ruler can accept reality, or even is aware of it. By Paul Craig Roberts. Trump and Netanyahu are not the only politicians who have trapped themselves in a war to their electoral disadvantage. The two are joined at the hip, not only in purpose, but in stupidity. The two stooges overestimated their military prowess and underestimated Iran's. If Iran had kept to its vow and not agreed to a ceasefire at Israel and Washington's request, Iran's victory would be complete. Instead, Iran faces a possible renewal of a war that it had almost won. But, alas, bad judgment again prevailed in Iran, and we are left with a smoldering war from which there is no easy victory exit for Trump and Netanyahu, both of whom face elections this autumn. Putin also faces elections, not for himself, but for the Duma or legislative body. If memory serves, the way the Russian system works is that the party or coalition that prevails in the election chooses the ministers in the government over which the president presides. At the moment, due to Putin's never-ending war and support for his central banker's 20% interest rates, Putin's party, United Russia, stands at the same level of support, according to polls, as the Communist Party. The Russian Communist Party is no longer communist in the original sense. What I think the Communist Party has going for it is two things. One is that Russians remember that the communists' leaders, such as Lenin and Stalin, were decisive and would not accept humiliations from the West, as is Putin's wont. The other is that the Communist Party is not a protector of billionaire oligarchs and 20% interest rates, which are helping oligarchs monopolize the Russian economy by squeezing out less capitalized companies. It is entirely possible that the Communist Party has accepted private property and a market economy and would better represent the Russian people than United Russia. Gilbert Doctorow, a Russian expert who pays attention, has pointed out for some time that thinking people in Russia are now questioning Putin's economic and war policies. The Russian news analysis provided by the TV program of Vladimir Solovyov has for some weeks been questioning the ever-widening, never-ending conflict in Ukraine, as well as the Russian central bank's policy that favors billionaire oligarchs over the majority of Russian business interests. On May 5, Doctorow reports that Solovyov's program has suddenly been replaced several days in a row by old or new movies. It seemed that Solovyov permitted truths to be expressed that Putin could not accept. The other serious TV show, hosted by Russian-American Dmitry Symes, is yet to be suppressed. Doctorow, like myself and John Helmer, asks the right questions. Zelensky, Washington's puppet strongman in Ukraine, said that his forces intended to hit with drones Russia's Victory Day Moscow celebration over Nazi Germany. Putin's response was to warn Kyiv that if it does attack, the Russians will then massively bomb the center of Kyiv. Why, Doctorow asks, does Putin have to wait until after Zelensky attacks Russia's Victory Day parade before Putin replies? Putin knows that the American-Ukrainian missiles get through to Moscow. Why does Putin want to risk the Victory Day parade to an attack? A greater humiliation for Russia is not imaginable. Why does Putin have to wait for a Ukrainian attack on the parade, which will almost certainly result in very substantial deaths of military on parade, and perhaps of officials and foreign invited guests like Prime Minister Robert Fico of Slovakia, on the reviewing stand where President Putin himself will be seated? Shouldn't Zelensky's threat to attack have been sufficient for Russia to make its devastating missile strike on Kyiv right now? If Putin were a man of action, a real commander-in-chief, that is what he would do. Once again, Putin reveals himself as a pussy, a person not competent to be the leader of Russia. The success to which it occurs of Israeli-American arms is due entirely to the weakness of will and thought of the targets of Israeli-America. Until Iran-Israeli-America has prevailed because its targets were incapable of understanding the agenda driving the threat. The total inability to understand the reality that Russia faces is institutionalized in the Kremlin. John Helmer, another expert who pays close attention to what is said in Russia, reports that Putin's hopes continue to prevail over factual reality. Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov, unlike Putin, is beginning to see reality. Addressing the hopes of resolving the Ukrainian conflict, Lavrov says, "So far, the reality is quite the opposite. New sanctions are imposed on Russia. A war against Russian tankers in the open sea is being waged in violation of the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea. They, Washington, are trying to ban India and our other partners from buying cheap, affordable Russian energy resources. Europe has long been banned, and are forcing them to buy US LNG at exorbitant prices. This means that the Americans have set themselves the task of achieving economic domination. Finally, a recognition of Washington's hegemonic foreign policy. Furthermore, while they ostensibly made a proposal regarding Ukraine and we were ready to accept it, now they are not. We do not see any bright future in the economic sphere either. Lavrov almost comes to realization of the Wolfowitz doctrine and what it means. Clearly, Putin has no comprehension, which is why he continues to bank on negotiations. As I have emphasized in writings and interviews, as long as the Wolfowitz doctrine of American hegemony is the foreign policy agenda of the United States government and the Zionist agenda of Greater Israel is the agenda of the Israeli government, all negotiations are pointless.